Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome back to episode. I'm just starting again.
Legitimately starting again.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 5 of the Weekly Planet. We're 5 episodes in, Mason. Can you or I believe it? Can either of us believe it?
No. I thought I'd run out of words by this point, but I've got more words.
Enough for this episode?
Ooh, what if I just trail off?
That's fine.
Yep.
I'll just. You'll sing?
Yeah, please do, yeah. Just carry this one, it'll be fine.
No problem. All right, so yeah, this week there's a few things we're going to talk about, namely the Batman Arkham Origins video game. New video game, exclusive on various platforms.
Pretty much all the platforms.
So not exclusive
not
in any way.
Not at all, no.
But look, I promised a few people that I'd start off with a few people sent us theme songs. Remember last week I said, or it might have been a week before, somebody please send us a theme song because you were singing. Like a madman.
Like a tone-deaf madman,
A tone-deaf madman. A number of people did.
We got heaps and they're all great.
I know, they are. But the thing is, I've lost most of them. And the ones I haven't lost, I don't know who's associated with who. So I don't want to mess it up. So what I thought, from next week, if you have a theme song, send it to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
That's our email address.
That's our specific email address. Mm-hmm. And look, we'll get through as many as we can. We'll play a different one every week until we find one that we think's the best song ever written.
Fantastic.
Thoughts?
Good. No, I like that. In fact, if you hear one, listeners, that you like a lot, let us know and then we'll know what people love.
Feedback.
We're all about feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, also I thought we'd add maybe a new segment to the start of the show. Just very briefly before we get on to the main thing we're going to talk about, just to discuss anything topical that's come up.
We are a news outlet after all.
Definitely.
We have these little hats that say press on them. They're good.
Thank you for hand making those, by the way. Embroidery is delightful. So I thought maybe we'd start off with talking about the Captain America The Winter Soldier Part 2 trailer.
Can I actually start with some news of my own?
Yes.
Man of Steel news. I've seen it. I saw it on home video format. It's good. I enjoyed it.
You really enjoyed it?
I really. No, it's really good.
So do you think
all the
hoo-ha was nonsense? People would complain too much for no reason?
I really dug it. It was really, really good.
Did you like the neck snapping?
Yes!
You were well into it?
Parts. I was just so tense of the whole movie. Like, oh, is he going to snap my neck?
That wet snap of the neck was the relief.
Yeah, it was really so good.
See, I found, and I've said this before, I was well into it until maybe the last like 30, 40 minutes. And I was kind of like, yeah, it's fine. Didn't hate it. I liked it quite a lot. I think it's better than Superman Returns and other movies. But yeah,
you know what? I'm happy for it to become the new DC universe.
Cool.
They want to slot in Batman. They want to slot in Green Arrow. They want to slot in
Ryan Reynolds.
Absolutely, in a variety of roles. He could be a superhero and an FBI agent and a man in black. I don't care. It's going to be great.
What was the one where he fought ghosts?
R.I.P.D.
That's right. Did you say that?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I like Jeff Bridges though.
Yeah, he's good in stuff, isn't he?
He sure is. Mm. So, yeah.
Sorry, I derailed this 2 minutes in. I apologise.
<That's fine. laughs> But, Captain America trailer, Winter Soldier, blew my mind. Did it blow anything of yours?
Oh, boy. I'll just let that sit there for a minute. No, it's really good. I'm excited for it. It looks really good. The new costume is sort of Steve Rogers, modern era appropriate. It looks good.
Totally.
But I would still like to see... There must be some sort of compromise between the World War II Captain America outfit and the weird Technicolor Avengers outfit. There's got to be like something that looks real and tough, but it still has that kind of comic book color to it. Like I feel this, so this Winter Soldier one is a little too.
It's a little too grim.
Yeah, well, it's monochrome.
Have you noticed? So in the trailer, he puts on the old costume.
Mm.
You see him wear it.
Okay.
So then. I think maybe he takes it off in protest, or somebody strips him of it.
I think there might be some sort of montage where he tries on a variety of different outfits. And just Nick Fury is just there shaking his head at each one. And then he puts on the modern one, and Nick Fury's like, yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah. No, look, I thought it was really great. Winter Soldier, what'd you think of that?
Looks good. Like the shield catch at the end.
Oh, really so good. Cool.
I hope the arm comes off and flies around like it does in the comic.
Does it really do that?
Yeah, it does.
Does it have a little jetpack on it? Or like, little, I guess like a rocket booster out of the...
I guess it's got weird World War II technology in it.
Oh, that's great.
But, yeah. But no, in one of the books, they separate it from him, but then it flies around and chokes people.
Is that made of the same thing that the shield is made from?
I don't think so.
But how did he catch the shield?
It's not...
Because vibranium or whatever.
Yeah, it's a vibranium alloy, James, for God's sakes. No, but it's not edged. It doesn't have a sharp edge.
You catch it.
I guess so.
Okay, there you go.
Comic book science.
I just learned something.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, what about Falcon? Yeah, the robotic wings, because you know it's got the nice feathery wings in the comics.
Uh-huh.
But it's like a more of a kind of... Well, obviously, mechanical kind of thing.
I'm okay with that. And also, we had feathery wings in the X-Men, so...
Oh, we did have feathery
people
wings
are gonna
in the
be,
X-Men.
People would be like, ugh, more of the same.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Good point. Also, wouldn't that be weird that a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent has feathery wings? Would that fit the world?
No, it wouldn't, would it?
Nah.
No. Be weird in the showers as well. Sure. The communal showers. They'll be all damp.
You know what I thought was really cool? There's that brief, it's like maybe a 1 or 2 second scene where there's like a... fist kind of knife fight thing.
Uh-huh.
And the Winter Soldier flips the knife and him and Steve Rogers are like fist knife fighting.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that bit?
I do, yeah.
That's a really cool bit.
Mm.
And there's another, Robert Redford. I'm a big fan of Robert Redford.
I know you
I'm
are.
Really happy to see Robert Redford in something. I think he's like mid-70s. I think he's like 76.
Uh-huh.
There's rumors going around that he's going to be the Red Skull.
Oh, an aged Red Skull.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
What does it matter? I mean, he's entirely under... prosthetic, so
yeah.
Hmm.
Do you think Robert Redford would sit around and let people put prosthetics on him, or would just be like, no,
I think he's too old. I think he would worry, and I would, were I Robert Redford, I would worry that they'd put it on, and then at the end of day one, they'd take it off, and my entire face would come off. I'd be a little concerned.
He is very weathered.
Yeah, he's so weathered. Super handsome, but very weathered.
Super weathered, super handsome. That's what he's all about. Yeah, but look. I liked it. Really looking forward to
and
it.
And when's that coming out?
That's coming out April, I believe, of next year.
Oh, it's too long to wait.
Well, what can we do about it?
We could, like, a letter writing campaign? Remember when that, like, semi-popular sci-fi series, like, went under, and we all had that letter writing campaign.
We banded together,
and we signed some petitions, and they brought it back.
And they brought it back forever.
Yeah, forever.
I remember that. We're still watching it now.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. All right, let's do it.
Okay, let's
just
do
so
it.
We can see it a few months early.
Fantastic.
Great. Another thing I thought we'd talk about. Anything else on the Captain America trailer you want to say? Good knife fight.
You mentioned that pretty much.
Yeah.
That's what my notes just say, knife fight.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard this, but Michael Ardent, I don't think that's how you pronounce it. Maybe you do. He was the guy who was writing Star Wars Episode 7.
Uh-huh.
Did write Star Wars Episode 7. He also wrote Toy Story 3. He wrote Little Miss Sunshine.
Ooh.
He wrote me a very lovely birthday card once.
Wow.
That one I made up.
But yes.
The other things are true. He's been, well, not fired from the project.
Uh-huh.
He's because they're kind of like, okay, you're done, Michael Ardent. Step aside. So Lawrence Kasdan, the guy who wrote Empire Strikes Back, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, a few other various things, is taking over,
mm-hmm.
as is J.J. Abrams. So they're going to be scripting it from now on and making their alterations. Do you think that's good or not good? I'll tell you what I think.
Oh boy. You didn't give me a chance there, but all right, go ahead.
No, you go. Go.
I'm ambivalent. Go ahead.
Okay. Look, I like Lawrence Kasdan.
Mm-hmm.
Empire Strikes Back is an amazing movie.
It's the best one.
It is the best one.
Movie.
Easily. I mean movie. Movie.
Yeah.
Have you
Full
seen
stop.
Attack of the Clones?
I've just seen Empire Strikes Back.
Have you seen Star Wars Episode...
No, I mean, I've literally just... So that's the only
that's
movie
That's the only
I've
movie
seen.
You've seen. So you've never seen Star Wars Episode 7,
no.
Revenge of the Nerds?
No.
Never mind. I'll cut that out. Anyway, yeah, so I think his best kind of days... He's not a bad writer by any stretch, but the last movie that he did that I recognised or of note was Dreamcatcher. Do you remember Dreamcatcher?
Was that Stephen King?
That was a Stephen King one where there was an alien at the end and the kid who had the brain damage was an alien and Morgan Freeman was the bad guy and they have weird psychic abilities. Thomas Jane's in it.
Ooh, he's good.
The guy from... What's his name? The guy from My Name is Earl is in it. The British guy,
yes.
The redhead British guy from Homeland.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him.
You know the movie, right?
Yes.
So that was the last thing of note that he did.
Okay.
So I'm not saying he's terrible, but I'm saying, wouldn't you rather get fresh eyes on it?
I think so, yeah.
Than be like, because it seems to me like J.J. Abrams is just like, we're going to do exactly what they did in the 80s, because they're filming on the same film. They're like, they're all props and sets and all those kind of things, which is all great, but it seems like they're just trying to rehash it, which is exactly what he did for Star Trek Into Darkness.
That's true.
Because it's pretty much Space Seed, the episode Space Seed of Star Trek and Wrath of Khan.
I think what's interesting is that, and this happens in comic books as well, but when people who grew up on certain media, like Star Trek or Star Wars,
yep,
finally get to sort of play in the sandbox,
yeah,
what they want to do is they want to take it back to the status quo and just do it exactly as...
Yeah.
Because you don't want to deal with new characters.
No!
Ugh.
Gross!
Ugh.
But look, I think the end outcome is pretty much going to be better than the prequels, not as good as the originals, and everyone will hate them.
High five.
That was a pretty weak high five.
Yeah.
That's what I think anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm cautiously optimistic, I should say, because I don't love J.J. Abrams. I've expressed that before. No problem with him, necessarily, but I just don't think he's that creative or interesting a filmmaker. I think he's kind of like if Steven Spielberg had an apprentice, but that apprentice wasn't as good as Steven Spielberg, and he made Super 8. By the way, which is not a very good movie. Yeah, I'll say it.
God, you're throwing out opinions all over the place on very old films.
That's
you're just throwing them out there. I'm sure there's maybe one person on the internet who's be very upset with those.
You know my problem with Super 8?
What's that?
I've got a massive problem with it. Okay, Super 8's supposed to be kind of like an E.T. kind of Goonies throwback, right? Uh-huh. You've seen it, right?
Yes.
You don't know, do you? Don't remember?
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
So there's I've seen Cloverfield. Is it the same film?
It's not.
With a different name?
Yeah, oof. Yeah, you know, they're both... the thing about both of them is that the secret is a monster. So,
oh, right, okay.
What's the secret of Cloverfield? What's the secret of Super 8? The secret is a monster.
Okay, right, good.
So, you know, that's great, I guess.
It is.
Not that he didn't even direct Cloverfield. Anyway, neither here nor there. The monster, like, it goes through the town, kills a bunch of people. Not just, like, bad people and cops or whatever. Just kills a bunch of people, like a guy at a petrol station and whatever, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, the kid goes into the cave and the monster's eating on a human leg and he's got all these people strung up dead.
Uh-huh.
And then the monster goes to attack the kid and then it gets close and it stops and you see that it's got human eyes and it's got emotions. So you're supposed to be kind of like, oh, the monster's just like us. But the thing is, the monster killed a bunch of people. E.T. didn't come to Earth and eat 50 people and then, you know, they waved him goodbye and said, you're the best E.T.
Mm.
And that's pretty much how Super 8 ends. Like, you're the best monster, thanks for coming and really fucking up our town.
Just murdering some random people
yeah,
who probably had families, great.
I just don't understand it, but hey, look, I don't hate it, I just don't understand, Next thing, I'm
yes,
done with this.
Okay, good. But are you sure you don't have any more in the tank for Super 8?
It's fine, who cares?
Yep.
Nobody remembers that movie anyway. But, another thing is, this is just a rumor, and I think this came out on Sunday or Monday, I can't remember, that Harrison Ford has signed on to Star Wars,
mm-hmm,
not confirmed officially, on the condition that he got story approval. So he was like, I'm cool with that, I'm back. And that, because Lucasfilm also own Indiana Jones, he wants to get a new one off the ground by 2016. Indiana Jones 5. What do you think?
You've put me on the back foot with this Indiana Jones 5 nonsense. Does he get story approval on that?
I think he just was like, yeah, this is fine, I'm happy with this.
Does he know what makes a good story, though? Like,
I guess.
What other films has he had story approval on, do we know?
Back to the Future.
Not true.
That's not true, though. No. Super 8.
Oh, boy.
I wish.
Yeah.
No, I honestly don't know, but I think he's in the position where he could knock back whatever he wants.
All these things you've mentioned so far are things that I'm so burned out on that I'm not going to see, and I say this and I'm going to back out of it obviously because peer pressure will crush me, but I'm not going to see a new Star Wars or a new Indiana Jones unless 90% of the reviews say this is amazing and surprising and refreshing in a way that the previous ones weren't.
So how are we going to do a podcast if you haven't seen it?
Okay, I retract just what I said. I'm going to see it regardless. Even if they're all one stars, you've tricked me in your web of logic.
That's it.
Fine.
We're now being paid for this.
I'm
an
saying...
an amount of money. So we should see things.
That's... God, you've... I'm seeing them all under duress.
Good.
Yeah.
Did you like Indiana Jones 4?
No.
Did you like any of it?
No. Can you think of anything you like?
You know what I liked about? I liked the bit in the start. In
you
liked
the bit where he swings around on like a monkey.
Yeah, that was... Oh, my God.
Where he swings around like a monkey.
You know what was
the
best?
Favorite part?
So good. Because I thought he was going to be left behind and then we wouldn't see that character again.
Right.
I was worried.
Yep.
Luckily, the writers thought of a way around
it. They did,
it.
Didn't they?
And he's back.
So good.
It was... What was that? Indiana Jones running around with Shia LaBeouf, an old woman, a crazy man, and a guy who constantly betrays him.
Yep.
And then they go off a waterfall and the real treasure was knowledge.
Yeah, isn't it always though, when you think about it? Apparently there's a lot of Indiana Jones 4 scripts out there that are quite good.
Like, isn't there one like Atlantis or something? Was that a game?
The Fate of Atlantis. You're thinking of the Fate of Atlantis.
So do you know what any of the stories are?
I think there was a version, and I think you can just Google it, Indiana Jones and the Saucer Man from Mars, which is apparently really good. Like, it's the same
idea. Did George Lucas write it?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Interesting.
Look into it.
No.
Okay, then don't.
All right, I will. Oh, cool. So that's pretty much it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***. Or sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
All right, let's get into the Arkham games. Yes. Now, before we talk about Batman Arkham Origins, the game of which we are here to talk about, do we want to talk about the previous games and how much we don't like them?
That's a good start. I hate them. They're great. They're great, aren't they?
They're so great.
Quickly, which is the best one, bearing in mind there is a correct answer here, or it's a trick question?
That's a tough call. Mm. I would have to say Arkham City. But I really enjoyed Arkham Asylum. But that being said, I never went back and played Arkham Asylum after I played Arkham City.
That's interesting because I went back and I replayed Arkham Asylum in its entirety because it's got that linearity.
Yeah, and they link in.
And they link in, and it's sort of it's a good way. Like you can see the entire story of Arkham Asylum. You don't have to run around doing billions of side missions and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. That's one thing I really never get into in any game of side missions. Mm-hmm. Riddler trophies. Whatever, I don't care. Like, just
not even in the first one.
No
little puzzles.
No, don't,
taking a photograph of the thing.
Don't give a shit.
Looking at Prometheus on a wall. He's a bad guy.
No, because then you know what? Because he's what annoys me about the Riddler character. That he's so smug, but his riddles aren't difficult.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, oh, not worth my time.
And you don't get to thump.
And
him,
I don't get to punch him.
Yeah.
And I know you do get to punch him in Arkham City, mm-hmm. but it takes so long to get to him. Mm-hmm. I went, no, not worth it.
Uh-huh.
He could go unpunched.
Wow.
It's fine. Mm. Yeah.
So your favorite Arkham City?
Yeah. Look, not by much.
Uh-huh.
But I think Arkham City only works because Arkham Asylum works so well, and they got those core mechanics right, and then they were able to expand them for that.
Yeah, I feel they're exactly on par, and they're both incredible games. Like,
yeah.
They're among my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think Arkham City has the bigger world, and it's the more free flowing world, and it has, you know, it has the city.
Yeah.
Which is you as Batman go out in the city and fight crime. That is what he does.
It's. Mm.
But I feel Arkham Asylum had a lot of little touches that I think they attempted to replicate in just sort of Arkham Cities, just sort of carbon copy them, like
the Scarecrow
missions in Arkham Asylum.
That was very carbon copy. And there's a moment like that in the new game as well, which we'll talk about in a minute. But sorry, go on.
So you know, you would sort of slip into the surreal world.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you realize that you're in this.
You're tripping balls.
You're tripping your back balls off. And then, yeah, you have to battle the Scarecrow. And I think in Arkham City, they were just like, well, how do we do that again?
Yeah.
And, okay, let's have the Mad Hatter side mission, and let's have that weird vision, that Ra's al Ghul vision quest that you have to float through.
Rings.
Yeah, the rings.
Superman 64 level.
Fantastic. Great.
Yeah, there was a bit of that. But, yeah, look, I like the way, I really like just the little attention to detail in both of the games. I don't think the world needs to be as big as it is in Arkham City. Is that?
There's not a fast travel system.
No.
So there was a lot of
to
and fro, not doing anything in particular.
Yeah.
I think the best thing that's come out of both of those games though, is the free flow combat system.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's gotten to the point where any game you play, whether it be GTA 5 or what have you. You just think, why can't you just do the Batman
fighting
system? Point in the direction you want to punch and attack. Somebody's coming at you, hit counter and move in that direction. And that's.
There was a GTA-style clone game last year. It was set in Hong Kong. It was Asian Triad thing. I can't remember what it was called. Watch Dogs, maybe?
No, that's upcoming.
Upcoming. It's not called Watch Dogs.
I know what it is.
You know what one I'm talking
about. I've got it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it's called. Because that had a very... That attempted the free flow system. And maybe this is why people haven't replicated it. Because it's probably a lot harder to replicate than you'd think.
Well, you know
that
who,
was quite
You know who does
stilted,
it really well. And it's not a great game, but the combat's particularly... You know what? It's an okay game. The Captain America game does that combat really, really well. And you've got the shield and everything. Uh-huh. It's pretty close.
Yep.
It's not as good. But I would say that's the closest there is to the Arkham combat.
How does the shield work? Do you throw the shield?
You throw it, or you clunk people with it.
And then it hits somebody and just falls to the ground.
No, it always
And you
comes
just have
back.
To walk, and you have to sit, and you've dropped it off a building, and you're like, oh, you have to go down a fire escape. It'd be pretty good.
No, it always comes back. And I think if it doesn't come
just
back...
Just on the back, it says realistic shield physics, and you're like, ugh. Should have printed that larger.
I don't think anybody needs to go and play that game, but if you like video game based on comic books...
You see it in a bargain bin.
Yeah, pick it up, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think I got it for like $15 and I was okay with it. Everything else is not great. The story's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
they think they get all the voice actors and whatever, and there's Zola in it and Red Skull and various other bits and pieces of it. Mm. Yeah, it's fine. But no, Arkham Origins, new game, different developer, not Rocksteady.
Let's dump on it right now. I mean, let's give it a fair review.
Now, there's been a little bit of backlash about this game because it's been said that it doesn't do anything new.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've finished the game. I sat up till 1 a.m. last night to finish it.
You look great,
by the way. I feel like I'm going to die.
Fantastic.
but I burnt through it. So there's a lot of side missions I didn't do.
Yep.
Like I said, though, hate side missions.
See, I'm a side mission guy. Yeah. I've got to do the side. If I see one pop up, I've got to do the side mission.
If it's someone being mugged, let him get mugged.
Wow.
I'll come and investigate their course.
You're no Batman.
No.
You're barely even a... Squirrel Girl.
Wow.
I know, right?
Is that a real person?
It's a real, yes.
So she wouldn't stop a mugging.
She might.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm barely even, so.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
But yeah, look, if I walk right across it, uh-huh. I'll do something.
Yep.
But other than that, I don't care.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you burned through it.
Yeah, the main reason I don't normally burn through games as fast as that I did for that, because I wanted to finish it so I could talk about it in this.
Yep.
Normally I wouldn't burn through it as much as I did. I kept having to go to things, like people would be like, let's go for a beer, James, or whatever. And I'm like, ugh. Because people don't know that I do this podcast. It's like a secret in
my
life. Because as soon as anybody I know knows that I do this, I'm going to shut this whole thing down. I'm going to burn it to the ground.
That's the spirit.
Because I like to keep these things separate, you know? Yeah. But hey, so basically...
Work-life balance.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about. And, that's what Batman believes in.
That's exactly right. Or Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
But, So I pretty much burnt through it coming back.
Can we talk about first impressions?
First impressions, first level,
yep.
I was like... Not very impressed.
Uh-huh.
Because it was like, you dropped in a prison. I'm like, I've seen this before.
Uh-huh.
You kind of walk through. Nothing particularly exciting happens in the opening. And then you sort of have a fight with Croc, where it's one of those fights where Killer Croc was like, he's a big guy. He's got some unblockable attacks. Jump over his back and do the beat down and punch him. And I'm like, I've done this 1,000 times.
Yes.
And the other two games, the thing is, they start so well. First one starts with where you capture the Joker and you drag him through on the trolley or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the second one starts with
Bruce Wayne handcuffed. City.
Incredible start.
Fights his way out, climbs his way to the top of the building with a bat suit and a rocket.
That's
on the suit, rock and roll.
That's exactly the best. It. But this one was kind of like, I'm at the prison.
Here we are. What did you think of the new bat suit, the new old bat suit?
I liked it. I thought it was cool.
I feel like it's a... And this is...
Too clunky?
Not too clunky.
Too funky.
Too glossy.
Okay.
And then it acquires battle damage like the other ones. And he does have that stubble that you seem to like so much.
I love it.
He's got the bat stubble. But it feels too glossy and kind of unfinished.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'm misremembering the old games, but like, even like when you see him doing various things, like a lot of the... Like when you see him, say, kick open a grate, like a sewer grate, you look at the boot... And it's a lot less... There's a lot less detail.
That's a really good point. I did notice that actually at one point, yeah.
And I'm wondering, and this carries through a lot of other pieces in the game, where is it supposed to indicate that it's because he's a young Batman and he's just new into the game and so everything looks shiny and new?
Or is it just poor texturing?
Or is it poor texturing and the developers have dropped the ball? Like, similarly, the voice acting...
Yeah.
This time, I was quite disappointed that it's not Kevin Conroy.
Yeah.
Animated Batman.
Well,
as the voice of Batman.
Doing something else though.
Apparently, he's doing the next gen.
Yeah.
Which might be Arkham World.
That'd be great.
And this sound-alike guy, he's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Like, you get used to it after a
you
while.
You do, yeah.
And I'm wondering, have they got him because they want him to sound like a Batman that's less experienced, or were they just like, hey, Kevin Conroy, don't get up all high and mighty on your high horse thinking you're the only Batman because we can get anybody as Batman. I found him
really jarring at the start. Uh-huh. Even though he's not bad, but because he sounds enough like Kevin Conroy where you go, this sounds like a guy doing a Kevin Conroy impersonation.
Right, exactly.
But then I kind of got used to it as it went on.
Mm.
The Joker in it is a lot closer to the Mark Hamill Joker.
Yeah.
But I don't think either of them are as good as the others.
But so, see, there we go. Again, regarding sort of the lack of detail, the bad guys, the generic bad guys, they're very generic.
So generic.
Like, you've got standard kind of brown-grey thugs kind of just the brown grey hoodie kind of.
Yeah.
Yep. You've got like corrupt cops.
Yep.
Short sleeve or long sleeve shirts. That's basically all you've got. And you've got like black mask thugs.
Yeah.
That's pretty. Like in Arkham City.
Oh, you got all the different gangs. And there's There is a little bit of that. Because you've got some penguin gangs.
Yeah, there's a little bit. But in. And again, is this because they were saying, well, this is a new world of costume crime in Gotham City, and so they won't be as colourful?
No,
well, just because they're like, well, we don't have a lot of time to knock this out, so let's make some generic guys. In Arkham City, especially, you could often find, generic thugs, and they were in, like, Two-Face costumes.
Yeah.
Because they were Two-Face's guys. And then you defeat Two-Face, and then later on in the game you find them in Two-Face outfits with like Joker stencils over the top.
Yeah.
Because the Joker has taken over that particular gang. There's nothing like that.
No, you're right. That's a really good, that's a good point. Yeah. But look, I think, it sounds like we're rubbishing the game, but I did enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
I just thought it was kind of a more of the same, in the same way that, do you ever play the Assassin's Creed games?
No.
So basically,
it looked like a lot of work. They are a lot of work. And sea
and
battles.
One
building a little cottage. Don't care for it.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, that's a massive problem with that game. Uh-huh. Those games. It's a pretty good game. It's a good start. Way too much talking. Way too much. You're in an office and a guy talks. Not an office. A medieval office, and he talks to you about what's right and wrong and humanity, and it's boring shit.
Great.
But then the second game, they really changed a lot of that up.
Uh-huh.
The combat's a little bit better, a little bit faster. It's a new world. It's in Rome. You got a whole lot of different gadgets. You get a gun.
You get a gun, somehow. Exactly. There's a game changer.
But then the next one comes out, and it's the same game.
Right.
It's also set in Italy. Uh-huh. And then they did it again.
Right.
And none of those games are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I feel like this one is. Just kind of like, it's not a move forward. It's like a lateral move.
Yeah.
You know?
Can we talk about Gotham City?
Yes.
So, in the first game, you know, you're in Arkham Asylum. It's filled with dangerous lunatics because that's all there is.
Yeah.
In Arkham City, you're in the walled-off part of Gotham City, which is filled with criminals and the occasional political dissent or whatever. You're in this one. You're in Gotham City pre-Arkham City. Not a lot going on.
No.
When you think about it.
No, it's very, very empty. And you know what? You can see they kind of tried to get around that.
There's a curfew.
Exactly.
There's a blizzard.
Nobody go on the streets.
No.
So it's just every rooftop or street is just filled with, packed with thugs.
Yeah.
Thugs that I ignore.
Yes, exactly. And again, those thugs are just like, they're not like robbing citizens for the most part. They're just like breaking into ATMs.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So, you know.
I maybe stopped 3 crimes and I think all of them were ATMs.
Fantastic. You're maybe all about the big banks.
I really am.
Yeah, no, I think, and again, if we're talking about a GTA 5, or we're talking about, like, do you remember Prototype?
Yeah.
Or the scene, there was thousands of people.
Yeah.
I think that would have been nice to see an actual population of the city.
It's not like you can't do it, though, as well.
Yeah,
it's been proven that you can do it.
I just proved it those two examples that I just said.
Well, you know what? I thought they were kind of like, and the way you said, the way that you said, Arkham City borrowed a lot from Arkham Asylum. This took that to a whole new level. Because by the end of the game, because you haven't played to the end quite yet, he gets, you know, and the other one is like, you know how he gets the tattered bat suit? This one's like, well, he gets a really tattered bat suit in this
boy.
One. So it gets super tattered. So I was like, okay. So
down to his skivvies.
That's it.
Down to his kind of his red and white striped strongman bathing suit.
And he's like, his cape even is like, it looks like Swiss cheese. There's having holes in it, whatever, which is fine, whatever. But also things like pretty much all the combat is the same.
Yep.
I would argue there's only really one new gadget. The glue grenade, which you get, is the freeze
grenade.
It's the same thing.
Uh-huh.
So the only new one is the one where you string two guys together.
Call, sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
Which is an okay addition, I guess.
Mm.
But I don't even think that weapon is as good as the one that you get where it shoots two directions.
Yeah, yeah.
In the last game.
Yeah.
The one that Vicky Vale...
The Flying Fox
one, yeah. And also there was even the obligatory scene where you fight, spoiler alert, I guess.
Here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing. It's quite difficult to spoiler Arkham Origins because the game does it quite well of spoiling itself. Like within, you know, half an hour of the game starting, you've found a data file that tells you the 8 assassins that have been sent to kill you.
Yeah.
So I would have appreciated a little bit of surprise.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just really the order in which you fight.
Yeah, because I was like, when am I going to fight Bane? Yeah, oh, here he is.
Here he is, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Like in Arkham City, you know, Mr. Freeze comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, Icy Mayhem.
And people are saying that the boss battles in this are amazing. I don't really think they are.
They're more quick time events.
They're more quick time events. And the Deathstroke one, it's okay. And I think that's the best one, but it's only okay.
And it's quite early on.
Yeah,
that's not a spoiler, I don't think. What is interesting up until that point, I think, is that the game holds your hand quite a lot up until that point. Like, Batman will say something like, I should use my explosive gel to break through the floor. And then you move away for 30 seconds and he's like, I don't have a lot of time. I better use my explosive gel to break through the floor. Like no one does.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of that for the first couple of hours.
And I guess if you've never played one before, I can understand it. But it's a bit heavy though.
Yeah.
But
at the same time, then you get to Deathstroke and it the first boss battle, the first real boss battle.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hold your hand at all.
Yeah, like, that's true.
And in the previous games, and I think this is an attention to detail thing as well, if you got defeated by a boss or in a particular scene, during the game over sequence, you'd see little clues as to how to do that, and they would get more and more obvious.
Yeah.
But in this one, if you're defeated by Deathstroke, and I was a couple of times before I figured out the pattern, you get to the game over screen, and it's just like, fight better, idiots. Why aren't you fighting better? But again... Up until that point, you know, every little thing that you're about to do, you'll get a little, you know, if you open a door, you get a little prompt, or if you need to do something, it'll tell you, or Batman will say, I'd better do this.
Yeah.
And then you get into Deathstroke, and it says, hey, do some countering. But it doesn't tell you how.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, you just, if you run at him, he'll counter you. And
I think that game, that scene in particular, it's a flashy quick time event.
It is,
That's what I think. I think it's just about you got to count at the exact right minute. But not even, it's only when the flash comes up, obviously, which how it is. But there's a lot of times where he looks like he's going to hit you, or he does hit you, but you can't counter it.
Yeah, especially when he has the knife.
Yeah.
If he draws a knife, you counter, and then he hits you anyway. Yeah. Annoying.
Maybe he's just that good.
He's very good, though. He's very... Actually, they made a big noise when this game came out. We're rubbishing this game a lot.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good. And, you know, I think... Maybe we're just upset because it's not the best game ever.
Yeah, exactly. If these games come out in chronological order and Arkham Origins came out first, we would be like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
you get to play as Batman, you're in Gotham City, you're fighting all the villains, you see his origins, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
But, and then we'd get to the rest of the games, we'd be like, wow, what amazing improvements.
Yeah.
It's just because the orders have been reversed. We're like, well, this is kind of the same, isn't it? What was I talking about? Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just an exercise in chipping away at him until he does his quick time event.
And I think he is the hardest boss as well. And you know, it's weird that they put Deathstroke up front and someone like Firefly at the back.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Build to Deathstroke. Put Firefly at the start.
That's right. They were going to make a big noise. They made a big noise, the developers, about the martial artist character.
Yeah.
And I assumed that you would meet the martial artist character, you'd be, you know, you would learn to deal with him, and then Deathstroke would show up.
Yeah.
He'd be the ultimate example of that.
No.
You'd have the skill. No, you fight Deathstroke, then you meet some martial artists who would just, you just counter him twice.
Exactly. That's the only difference. And you know what, though? There's not even that many martial artists in it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really...
And they look kind of fat.
They do look a bit fat, yeah. Their sleeves are rolled up, though.
Yeah, that's probably...
And they wear bandanas. That's how you know they're martial artists.
That's a good point,
just like
actually,
real life.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? Getting back to the copper head thing, in that boss battle, she poisons you, and you have a weird little trip your balls off moment. But it's not even... It's done so briefly and poorly. And then you fight multiple versions of her, and she's like, which one of me is real? And then you beat her, and he's like, and then she's like, but my poison's still in your system, Batman. And then you throw her in like a big shipping container, close the door, and it's never mentioned again. So like, I don't... Because Alfred shoots... After you get poisoned, 10 minutes later, Alfred shoots... An elephant gun
full of rock salt
into your face. No, he shoots it from shooting from the Batcave, and it comes through the roof where you're fighting, and you put it in, and you're healed immediately. And what I liked about that, I think the Arkham City in particular, it was a ticking clock.
Right.
Even though you're not going to die from the poison, the game's not built that way, but you feel like there is a sense of urgency because you look worse and worse as it goes on. You have more hallucinations. But this is like you get poisoned 10 minutes later, I'm fine. So, you know.
Yeah. Maybe that poisoning will have some repercussions in the sequel, Arkham Asylum. Oh, wait, it didn't. Never mind.
You know what, though? Also, I thought there was I really hate the decryptor decoding thing. And it feels like every second door you got to go through, you got to pull out the thing and you got to decode the thing. And it's not fun. Mm-hmm. It just slows you down.
I find it a lot of fun.
Why?
I like finding what the little words are.
But, it's just like... No. It's not fun. But maybe... I just found I had to do that so often. And it's like, oh, I got to use my thing. And then it's the same every time.
You had to do it a lot in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, that's true. But I would say, well, then do something different then.
Yeah, you're right.
The cryptographic sequelizer?
That's
the
one.
Called?
Yeah, that's what they call it.
So I don't think you really, you know. Mm. Also, as we've sort of mentioned this, a lot of glitches in this game. I mean, and that's just not me saying that. There's hundreds of videos on YouTube of multiple glitches. There's a certain Riddler, you know, the tower that you unblock, all those towers. There's a certain one you can't get into because you get into a room, you cryptograph the thing or whatever, where you unlock it. Then you're supposed to climb into a vent. You jump onto the vent and you just hang there. You can't
Fantastic.
Climb into it.
Wow.
And so the way you got to get around it is you got to do a weird little stunted jump and then you fly up into the air like a glitch and then you fall down to the top of the building.
I hadn't encountered that, although I did encounter. I was trying to find one of the penguin's weapon caches and I dropped down on it and I got stuck in it. And then all these guys were coming at me and I couldn't because my legs were trapped. It was like a box of quicksand.
And your legs were trapped in real life as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Under
the
couch.
It was cursed. It's like the ring.
Yeah, there's a few things that I ran into. What was it? Yeah, the frame rate dropped for me quite a bit as the game went on. It seemed to get worse as it goes. There was one point where it just got so bad that I had to restart the thing. I'm like, this is unplayable.
Wow. Is that because your PS3 is really old?
It must be. No, I got it last year. I got a new PS3 last year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I've heard that from a few people as well. And I'm not even, like, I forget. I'm okay with glitches because nothing's perfect. But it just seemed like it happened quite a bit, enough that I would notice it. Normally, I don't notice the glitches. But this one, I noticed... I know it's quite a bit.
Huh.
So, yeah. You know what? Also, too much Bane. Way too much Bane.
I haven't gotten up to that point yet. So
you fight Bane at the start, and then he hulks up, and you fight him again, and then you fight him when you're at Blackgate Prison at the end, and then he hulks out completely, and then you fight him again. You fight him like 4 times, and each time is as boring as the last time.
Interesting.
And the last time you fight him, they try to make it do like... Remember the Mr. Freeze challenge?
Yes.
Where you got to hide in grates
you
and
can't
jump
defeat
out and get
him the same way. The
but
same...
you can.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It's implied that you can do multiple things, but all you got to really do is sneak up on him and get him from behind or jump out of a grate.
Great.
And get him. And yeah, I just... Wait, I don't think the boss battles are what... Even what the reviews are saying that they are. I think they're just okay. Mm. I think you want to get... You want, like you said, it should be an extension of the combat, as in you fight a guy who can counter as well as you, and you don't have to do the same thing to beat him. It's not like, oh, just use your cape swipe and then you've got him defeated.
Because
when you know that you can do that, because with Bane, every time you swipe your cape 3 times and he gets dizzy and then you beat him up. And then 4 goons drop in, you beat them up and then you go back to Bane.
Ugh.
And you do that so many times.
Don't care for it.
Yeah.
Mm.
What a crap game.
I know, right?
I know we are rubbishing it, but yeah, the combat's great.
Mm-hmm. There's not as much atmosphere.
No, significantly less.
In Asylum, especially, you had that. There was that kind of very creeping conspiracy that was floating around.
Sense of foreboding.
Sense of foreboding, definitely. Mm, and you had to collect the Chronicles of Arkham, and it sort of built that story of.
And then you had to collect the Chronicles of Riddick on Blu-ray.
You noticed. Oh, so many Chronicles. I'm looking forward to that new one. Oh boy. And in Arkham City, you would encounter a lot of. And again, I know you hate side missions, but you would encounter.
No, that's not true. If they're interesting, I like them.
Yeah.
I did the Deadshot one from Arkham City and
Deadshot.
And the one...
Anarchy. Not Anarchy.
Didn't do Anarchy.
Azrael.
Azrael, yeah, did that one.
Yep.
Because that's interesting.
And it's interesting. And you'd be going through Arkham City and you'd see a Ferris wheel and you'd just be standing on top of the Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
And you could fling a batarang at him and he would catch it. Brilliant.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
You know what I noticed in this game as well? In the old one.
Yeah.
I keep saying, go back to the old one. The old one's better. Which is true. It was.
Yeah, it was
but
better.
But like, you'd throw a batarang and then it was one of those ones where you direct it back to yourself. In the old game, you'd catch it.
Yep.
In this one, you don't catch it.
Huh.
Well, I guess he's inexperienced.
Yeah.
But maybe that just happened to be on that one particular bit. Maybe other times you do catch it. But when I tried, I'm like, that's interesting that they wouldn't just put that mechanic in.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine it'd be difficult. It's like a I mean, I don't know anything about computer coding, but I'd imagine that's the easiest thing in the world to do.
But it sounds easy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's probably
a you know what, though? The story, I thought, got a lot better as it went on.
Yeah, in terms of the relationship between Batman and Commissioner Gordon.
Yep.
That, and we see that relationship develop. I think the story is good insofar as we see that Batman is sort of as much to blame for the villains of Gotham as they are. Like, he showing up on the scene has brought all these lunatics out of the woodwork.
And I don't know if, spoiler alert, if people don't know this, but you know, in a... Oh, you don't know?
No, go ahead. No, go ahead. It's fine.
How it turns out the Black Mask was... The Joker was Black Mask the whole time.
Yeah.
And it had... Oh, you're up to that bit already?
No.
Okay, that's basically what it is.
I'll live.
So it becomes that he's the main villain. Mm. And it's interesting because it explores their relationship, because Joker falls off a building at one point and Batman catches him.
Mm-hmm.
And Joker's like, what is wrong with you?
Right.
Why would you do that? Yeah. And then the rest of the game becomes this whole Joker trying to push Batman's limits, like, which I find really interesting to see that the moment when the Joker discovers that, like, Batman's got this weakness and I'm going to see if I can break him.
Mm.
And that whole thing's really, 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 really interesting, I thought. I mean, they did use the Joker again as the villain, which they sure did. The other two, because he becomes the main villain.
Yeah.
But hey.
Maybe
It was good. It was good. It was well done.
Mm.
So, you know, there's that.
Mm. Also, the CSI Batman sequences look pretty good. They're not very interactive.
They're so hand-holdy. I gotta go and scan this. Maybe there's a fingerprint on the wall.
I'll just have a look at the wall. There is one. I wonder who's that. Now I'll look at the body. I should look at that. And the little red triangle appears and you go over and you look. And then the only real... Basically, it holds your hand. You go through that for 5 minutes. And then Batman says, I should scrub through the crime scene and see if there's something I missed. And you just scroll back until you see another red triangle.
Yeah.
And then you click and you've nailed it. And you've solved that crime.
You're the best detective.
You're the best detective. I mean, they look very pretty.
Yeah.
Mm.
God damn it. Yeah. So I don't really have anything else to say about it. I would recommend it. If
you would recommend it, but...
Shut up.
Shut up. A, shut up. And B, based on our previous incredibly successful rating system of best game ever or worst game ever... What would you say?
I would have to say worst game ever.
Worst game ever. Yeah. Worst game ever.
And you know what? It's one of the most fun games I've played this year.
Yep.
The other one being, I play a lot less video games now than I used to. Because I devote my time to making videos and doing this podcast now, I've got no time for music or anything. Audiobooks I've got time for.
Boy, do you ever. Audiblepodcast.com/planet.
But so I have to let a lot of things slide.
Mm. Hygiene, certainly.
Hygiene, not in a big way.
Mm.
But so like... I don't play as many video games as I used to. Last of Us was the big game that I played this year.
Uh-huh.
Bioshock Infinite was great as well, which I didn't actually end up finishing. I know, ridiculous. Even though it's a really good game. And this game was really, really good. So even though I haven't played that many games this year, I did get a lot out of it. I'll probably go back to it. Also, two of the Assassins are side missions. So there's two of the Assassins, I think at least two, that I haven't fought. Because they're not in the game.
Why bother?
Yeah.
You've only got a $50 million bounty on your head. It's fine. They could come out of the woodwork at any moment.
Do you know who they are?
No.
Do you want me to tell you?
No.
One of them's Batman.
That's weird.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to say? Oh, there's a few Easter eggs in it. But the Easter eggs aren't as good as the other Easter eggs.
Yeah.
They're mostly posters of things. I looked at this online. Some of them
Policeman's ball. Really? Policeman's Christmas party. Policeman's other thing. I looked at a lot of posters in the police department. There wasn't a lot to do in there.
There was like, what was it? There was a Basil Carlo poster.
Oh, sure. Clayface.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But that's it. And there's a Flying Grayson's poster. I'm like, okay.
There's a lot of soda cola vending machines, which is the DC Universe's premier cola.
Soda cola.
Soda cola.
I didn't even notice that.
There you go, yeah.
There's like a Queen Industries...
There's a packing crate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole bunch of stuff like that, but it's not like... Who was the guy who takes Bruce Wayne's face?
Hush. Thomas Elliot.
Like, you run into him in the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
You run into... You find the Scarecrow's hidden kind of lair.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's stuff like that. And maybe things like that will come out. But it seems like it's mostly posters of things.
It is, yeah. Well, that's true. In Arkham Asylum, you had the one that nobody found because it was so well hidden.
Yeah.
The hidden Arkham City plans.
Yeah.
And in the... In Arkham City, you found the Scarecrow's hideout filled with fear bugs.
Yeah.
Which I hope will play out in Arkham
World.
That'd
be great, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
Unless you got nothing.
Also, I don't think there's
anything... Unless they're so well hidden. Unless we're both idiots.
We are.
We are, though. I mean, in fairness. So there's probably heaps of stuff that we missed.
There's a whole section where Robin's 10 feet behind you, just walking behind you, just like walking really carefully.
Well, I was not being observant.
You didn't see that? I didn't see it either. But yeah, like, and even things like in when you look at the first game, you see Clayface. Uh-huh. And you use your detective vision.
And he doesn't have
a skeleton. Bones,
yeah.
Then in Arkham City, and I didn't pick up on this.
The Joker.
You fight the Joker, but it's the Clayface Joker the
and
first time.
And if you go back, he doesn't have
he
any
doesn't
bones.
Have a skeleton.
Yeah.
So you can figure that out early on.
Uh-huh. I'm assuming, a detective.
Because you're a detective. Mm. I didn't detect it. But I went back specifically to go, I want to see if that Joker has a skeleton.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't, and it blew my mind
that
I would miss that.
The little details. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why I could never be Batman.
Hmm. Also, you're not rich.
No.
Your parents weren't... They're both still alive, aren't they?
For now.
Yeah. Good. Good. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I can dream.
You've only got that white belt in bloody judo.
Oh, yeah. I could do a flip, though.
You could definitely
By
do a flip.
By a flip, I mean if somebody comes at me a specific way, if I somebody, can deflect if, them. If, and it's in a dojo situation.
If one person sort of... knelt down behind you at like knee height and somebody else pushed you from the front, you could conceivably do a flip / fall
into a garbage can.
Into a garbage can.
Yeah, also, anything else you want to say about it before that we talk about some other stuff just quickly?
Nope. Worst game ever.
Worst
game
ever.
Had a lot of fun, but it has to be the worst game ever.
I picked this other version up as well. There's a PS Vita and 3DS version.
Ooh.
It's a 2.5D side-scroller.
Mm.
It's set in Blackgate Prison.
Ooh.
I played 10 minutes of it today, just before you came around, because I thought, I bought it. I want to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
It pretty much gets the combat right.
Uh-huh. Is it the similar system?
Similar system.
Okay.
It's easily, like, playing the first 10 minutes of it, it's the best handheld Batman game I've ever played.
Huh. And you've played, what's the one on Atari Lynx?
Batman Returns of the Atari Lynx, which I'll talk about in a minute.
Uh-huh.
But they really nailed the combat. Apparently, it kind of gets very samey as it goes along.
Yep.
And it's getting scores like 7.5 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I played of it, it's okay. I think you could have actually made it a world kind of game. You didn't have to make it 2D in it. I think because the Vita in particular is capable of making that particular game. I don't know if you played Killzone Mercenary on the Vita.
I did.
Did you?
I borrowed yours, I think.
Did? For like 10 cool.
minutes.
Okay. Because I'm the only person on Earth who has a PS Vita.
Yeah.
I really am, though.
Wow.
I don't know anybody else who has one.
Mm.
Oh, maybe I'm the PS fanboys.
I think so.
Yeah. Actually, I got given it. It was a gift, actually. Yeah. It's one of those things I wouldn't buy for myself, but I'm okay that I've got it. I don't really play it that much because there's not many games on it.
You're making a lot of excuses for this thing. just let it go.
But
it's
fine. I probably will play through that particular game though and see where it goes, but apparently it's just okay.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's an iPad version. It's free. Have you played it?
No, why? Is it free but freemium?
It's freemium, but you can still do a lot of combat. I downloaded it. I think it's like 700 meg. I played it for maybe 5 minutes.
Deleted
it's the worst game ever.
Well, they always are.
Not good.
Did you play the Iron Man 3?
No.
iPad game is the worst game ever.
It was a kind of that sort of Infinity Blade-ish kind of...
No, not at all. If it were, that would be great by comparison. So it's free, but it's freemium.
Yeah.
And it's basically... It's like Cannibal. It's an endless runner.
I love an endless runner.
Yeah, but it's in 3D.
Yeah.
And you just fly through the same environments over and over. And then you get to a point and there's some... robots or flying things and you zap them with your repulsor ray and then you keep flying and you speed up inexplicably for no reason.
Can you slow down?
No, you can't slow down. And it just keeps going and going. And that would be fine as a completely average game that's free, except every single thing in the game costs money. Like if you die, it takes you like 10-15 seconds to repair the armor and resurrect. Unless you pay money.
Is it just a loading screen?
Pretty much.
So it's not really you repairing it, it's just a loading
screen. No, it's just a loading screen. You don't have to do it manually. And so then you can skip that by paying like start credits.
But
which you get by paying real money. And then there's like 18 different armors and you have to build up experience points to earn them and then you have to pay start credits to buy them. Or you can pay real money.
Why would you pay for a game which is literally just flying until you get faster and faster
and
crash?
I have no idea. But basically, it's even laid out in the thing. If you want enough credits to get all the armors right off the bat, it's like $109.95. Not even kidding. It's awful. And I read reviews of this. I'm like, this, because I'd never played a freemium game before this. And I went, I'm going to get read reviews of this. And this is going to, they're going to be like, this is an outrage. This is horrendous. And I got to the reviews and they're like, yeah, the pay-to-play stuff, it's okay. It's reasonable. Is it reasonable?
$109.
I think what has happened is that all these little pay-to-play things, all the freemium stuff has snuck up on people.
Yeah.
Like, incrementally.
Yeah.
And now people don't even notice if they have to do that.
See, I'm happy to pay for a game outright. I remember I played something like $12 for a version of Street Fighter on my iPhone.
Yep.
Which I barely even played. Right. I was happy with it, got all the characters, played it a few times, whatever. It's an okay game. You know, it's pretty good for what it is.
Uh-huh.
I'm happy to pay for it if you just give me the whole game.
Exactly, thank you.
I'm happy to pay a little bit extra. I don't care if it's $10 or whatever. If it's good, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Infinity Blade's a really good example of that. Yeah. Bought the first one. I don't think I bought the second one. Knowing what it was, not, you know, and everything. And it was great.
Mm.
Even, I think Plants vs. Zombies 2 is premium.
Never played it.
One?
No.
Have you ever seen a plant?
Are they like, is there one in this room?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Wow, okay,
That heater-shaped thing, that's a plant.
That's cool.
How it's giving off heat. It's a heat plant.
It's fantastic.
So do you want to talk about other games? Batman games from the past.
Let's talk, I just want to talk about my favourite, which is the Batman the movie game from the 80s, or possibly like 1990.
Yeah.
On the Amiga 500, that was my,
how many
that
discs?
Was my jams. I think just one disc.
Wow.
One 3.5-inch floppy disc.
Yeah. You better believe it.
Fantastic. And it was the standard format of movie tie-in games at the time. They were all exactly the same.
Yeah.
It was platform level, driving level, puzzle level, driving level, platform level. That's it.
Five levels.
And they were all exactly the same.
But did it follow the movie?
More or less. It kind of. So first level, you're in the chemical plant.
Sure.
The Axis chemical plant, right?
And
you fight your way through all these generic bad guys until you find Jack Napier, and then you hit him with a batarang, and he falls into a tank of toxic waste.
Just like the movie.
And then you're in a driving level. You're escaping from the Joker. And you have to... It was one of those games that was really, really remember back in the day when games were really unforgiving?
I do remember that.
And it was in this driving...
Vividly.
The driving level, and you had to get back to the Batcave, like a 3D driving level, and you had to... Like, the game would point out ways you had to turn, like you have to turn left now, and you had to fire out a grappling hook in one direction or the other,
cool.
And then quickly turn around a corner. But if you missed, like, one, you'd run out... It was timed, and if you missed one, you'd run out of time, but it wouldn't just end at that, like... It wouldn't end.
It would make you
go all the way to the end and go, oh, you ran out of time. then generic puzzle level, then flying in the Batwing level where you had to cut all the balloons.
Okay.
In the parade, the poison balloons.
Yeah.
And then final level, you're in the cathedral. You climb all the way to the cathedral. You see the Joker escaping on a helicopter. You shoot your grappling hook. It hits him. He falls hundreds of stories to his death. End game. Brilliant. I loved it.
How many times did you play that game?
So many times.
Good graphics for the time.
Yeah, Amiga 500.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I didn't have an Amiga 500.
Sweet. So sweet.
Would you recommend it?
Yeah, best game ever.
Best game ever. How was the combat? Was it pretty much punch, graphics?
No, it was just batarangs.
The whole thing? Just no punching?
No punching.
Huh.
Batarangs.
Did people disappear when you kill them? Not kill because he's Batman. Except when he pulls that guy off the helicopter and he falls to his death.
No, they would fall off the screen.
Okay.
Presumably to their death. But movie Batman was okay with the occasional killing.
He killed so many people.
He'd blow up a building with people in it.
Which, is it Batman Returns or the first Batman where there's, I think it's Batman Returns where there's all the clowns or whatever around his car and he lifts up the car and the car's on a little tripod stand and he turns it around and he just fires the engine on them and
that's Batman Returns,
and burns so many people to death.
Yeah.
Funny we should mention Batman Returns though. Because my Batman game of memory is Batman Returns on the Atari Lynx.
How'd that go?
Are you familiar with the Atari Lynx?
Yes, I'm familiar with the Atari Lynx.
Did you have an Atari Lynx?
No, but I remember you could turn it upside down.
Lefties. Yeah.
For your lefties who inexplicably wanted to play left, you could flip it upside down and flick a switch and it would...
That thing was as wide as a bus, though. It was the biggest handheld I think that's ever existed.
Uh-huh.
Again, I was the only person in the world that had one.
Uh-huh.
And I got it like well after it came out.
Right.
So it was like, you know, nobody
cared.
Nobody, I think, you know, people have had the Game Boy Advance probably at that point. And I was playing it. But anyway, this Batman Returns game, to its credit, it follows the story pretty closely.
Uh-huh.
Like the first one, you
do you burn some clowns to death?
No, you don't burn any clowns to death, but you know, all the villains match up, like you fight clowns who throw dynamite.
Uh-huh.
But it's one of those games where you don't stop for a second to fight everybody because you'll die.
Right.
You have to keep moving.
Right.
And then there's only four levels. It's a four level game, but it is as hard as fuck.
Penguin Orphanage level, weird ice charity ball level, Christopher Walken level, the penguin gets electrocuted level.
You pretty much nailed it. That's what first I level it. Running through the street, you fight the penguin in his duck.
Duck. Yeah.
Duck. Or you have to hit the duck in the eye with batarangs.
Uh-huh.
Second level, I think you're going across the rooftops of the city, and this level is ridiculous because when you run across and there's cops trying to kill you. Some of them have handguns, which is fine. They just take a little bit of damage. Other cops have shotguns. If you jump midair and get shot with a shotgun, you fall straight off the building. You've only got like 3 lives. Hmm. And it's so easy to get shot because you can't see to the edge of the screen. So you jump thinking there's nobody there. There's like 10 guys waiting there with shotguns.
That is classic old game thing.
Just that cheap.
Just a leap of faith. Yeah. Just a cheap leap of faith.
And it was one of those things as well where if you didn't hit it, like, you couldn't just hit the edge of the building. You had to get, like, right on it. Otherwise, you'd just fall straight through it to your death.
Arkham Origins question, why are all the cops in that corrupt? I understand there's a lot of corruption in the cop, but you just assume everybody's corrupt and just wail into them.
There's a bit later.
There's probably just a guy and he's not corrupt and he's just pulling you in a bit of overtime and he's just at the copy machine and you just kick in the door of the GCPD and you just belt him and he's like, oh, my teeth.
No dental plan. Yeah, well, I think there's bits later in that game, actually, where you fight these cops are going to, they're going to bust into the bridge at the wrong time or whatever. I'm going to stop them.
Uh-huh.
They're just regular cops. Right. And you just go down and just pummel them.
Great.
So they'd be like, thanks, Batman, for beating us half to death, you know?
At least we didn't die. We've just got crippling disabilities for the rest of our lives.
Well, just quickly, though, you know how they try to make it more an experience? Because
yep.
There's a bit where he interrogates a thug and he chokes him out.
Yep.
What do you think? I think there's one bit where he's sort of inexperienced and that's it.
Yeah.
And Gordon's like, not Gordon. Alfred's like, you're a vigilante with a trust fund.
Mm.
Do you have to that bit? And that's yes. Pretty much everything else. He's pretty much the same Batman.
Mm.
Except he doesn't like working with people.
Well, you see the thing there is,
the
way you know he's an inexperienced Batman is people have said it. You know?
That's, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You that's missed, storytelling.
Yeah, that's storytelling. Yeah. Right?
Worst game ever.
Worst game ever. Sorry, guys.
So this game, just quickly, the Batman Returns. Nobody cares about this, but I'm going to talk about it anyway.
You love it so much. You've been waiting years for a platform to tell people about your Batman Returns experience. This is therapy for you more than anything else. Continue. It's fine. I'm going to edit it out surreptitiously. I'm going to borrow the file and then...
Nobody will ever know. Not many people apparently, or very few, clocked this game. Probably because not many people have played it. The last mission, you go through the sewer, you fight the penguin, which is obviously a very mismatched fight in real life.
Uh-huh.
But you beat him up for a bit, you kick him, and he flies into a big machine, and he gets electrocuted, and he slides off the screen to his death. In classic Batman fashion.
That is classic Burton Batman fashion.
And then at the end of the game, it goes... By the way, I should point out, points in this game mean nothing.
Right.
You earn points... They mean nothing.
Mm.
You can't buy anything
right.
because they mean nothing.
Yeah, back
I can't
in the day.
Emphasize
but you
that
can tell
enough.
Everybody that you earned 1,000,000 points.
That's right.
You could take a photo of it, of your screen, and then get that developed, and then send it to a video game magazine. That's what people did back in the
day. I know. Because now, like, when people... Even if people, there's a video on YouTube of somebody getting a really high score, people are like, you faked it! You used trickery! Nobody believes anything anymore.
That's true.
You know, so... Back in the day, it was a lot of effort. If you were going to doctor a photo, you'd have to go to a lot of effort.
Yeah, really, you really
but,
did.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about that for. And, so you kick the penguin and he dies or whatever. End of the game, it says something like, congratulations, you've defeated whoever, bonus 10,000 points.
Fantastic.
End of game.
No, you can
the points don't do anything.
No, you can take those points, you put them in your pocket for later, you feel real satisfied.
You know the most annoying thing as well?
Oh boy, here we go.
A lot of the games...
Get it out of your system. Tell thousands of people inexplicably.
A lot of the games but on the Atari Lynx, I think all of them,
Slime World. Rampage. I remember games.
That you put in your high score, you put in your initials or whatever, and...
As soon as you switch it off,
it's
reset.
Not saved.
Yeah, okay.
There's no point to it. Don't put it in. You're not going to leave it on forever, are you?
Okay, so any developers of the Atari Lynx out there who are listening...
No, it's fine. I had a lot of time with the Atari Lynx.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I really did.
Mm.
Do you want to buy two and we'll use the link up cave and we'll play some Atari Lynx?
Fantastic, let's do that.
Play some Rampage. We'll play some Gates of Zendikon.
Oh,
we'll play some Zarlon Mercenary.
Let's
we'll
do
play
that.
Some Paperboy. We'll play some Tournament Cyberball. I had a lot of Atari Lynx
games. I could tell.
That was so cheap.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Fantastic.
We've both got things to get to, don't we?
Yeah.
I don't.
Oh, well. Well, I'll see you back here next time.
I burnt all my bridges on the weekend because I abandoned all my friends to play Batman to
you're
do
good
this
at that,
podcast.
Aren't you? Yeah.
I was at a dinner on Friday and I was like 2 hours in. And I was like, well, that's me. And they're like, you just got here. You're literally still eating. I'm like, well, what can you do?
I skipped a box party. Yeah.
Wow.
No, I didn't really.
Anybody important?
Nah.
Oh, I know who it is.
Yeah.
Nah, you didn't miss it.
Nah.
He's all right. Weird shaped head on that guy, though.
Yeah, I know, right?
His name's Brendan.
Oh, God.
Good guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if, let me think. Why don't you let us know what you think of Arkham Origins if you've played
refute
it.
Refute each of our points one at a time in order.
I think we were unnecessarily harsh on this game, but I think everything that's good about that game is borrowed from the previous games. Mm. If particular studio had to make this game by themselves, they could not have pulled that game off.
No, it's just because they had the engine already.
They got the engine, they got the mechanics, they got not Kevin Conroy.
We miss him.
Weird audio glitches in that game as well. There's bits where the Joker's talking to you over the PA, and I always find that stuff really interesting, but it's really soft, so I can't hear it.
Yeah, yeah. You're probably standing in the wrong spot.
I was.
Yeah.
You know what? I was standing in a different room.
That's it.
Yeah. So let us know what you think, though. Hit us up on weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Weeklyplanetpod Twitter, is that it? Twitter.com/weeklyplanetpod.
That's the one. You're doing really well.
Facebook.com/Twitter/WeeklyPlanetPod.
That's the one.
.com. Or Mr. Sunday to Sunday Movie Channels. Mm. I'm doing a Thor review this week.
Ooh.
Do you want to go to my channel and check it out, Mason?
Yes.
Yeah. So next week, I think we're going to be talking about Thor the Dark World, aren't we?
Fantastic. I'm ready for it.
Some reviews are already saying that there's too much comedy.
I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that.
Do you think Thor's a humorous character in the comics?
No, he's not known for his...
His dry wit?
No, he's known for his Shakespearean... manner of speech and everything's Armageddon.
Isn't he also known for his hammer?
Yeah, and the hat with the wings on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He barely put that on in the first one. I wonder if he'll wear it in this one.
I doubt it.
Hmm. Mm. I'm really looking forward to Thor, though.
Me too.
As we said last week, really like the last one. If they botched this movie up, though, like they sort of botched up Iron Man 3, do you think people will be like, Marvel have lost it? What happened? Phase 2, more like phase poo.
I think even if they don't botch it, people will say that.
Yeah.
So it's largely irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they just gotta, you know what? I think they gotta do more new properties. I think that's what, sequels obviously make the money.
Yep.
But what I'm most looking forward to, actually, aside from Captain America, which looks amazing, Ant-Man and, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm on board.
Yeah. And Black Panther, if they ever get around to that.
Ooh, yes.
But they keep, every time Kevin Feige goes to talk about it, he keeps like pushing it back. He's like, it's on the cards!
Not on the cards.
But I think, and the same with, is there any, what other female superheroes? Was it? Black Panther's not female, just so people. No, there's also female superheroes which they're talking about, which I think at the end of the day they probably won't make because I think.
There might be an Alias film. That's one of the projects that they keep pushing. Not Jennifer Garner Alias, but it was a Marvel Max series about a former superhero. Who's trying to put the whole life behind her, and now she's a private detective.
Okay, cool.
Really, really
good. What's her power?
It's like generic. She's like flight superhuman strength. She's quite durable.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So
like a flying car.
Like a flying car, exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll talk about that next week.
Fantastic.
Very excited. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for everybody. Remember, go to audiblepodcast.com/planet.
Yes.
Free audiobook.
Also. Tell us how much we sold out.
Yeah, please do that. I'm excited for that too. It's going to be great.
Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. Thank you for making this podcast possible.
Okay, bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.